Well, hello to you. It's Mark Cave here again, and this is our second podcast in a series of shows that I want to talk to you about all the different chemicals and methods and procedures that we use in soft washing to achieve exterior cleaning results of removing all those pesky algae and lichens that are pretty much taking over nowadays due to all this amazing clear air that we have, thanks to all the climate activists that are out there. So, just a brief background of me. I run two cleaning companies. Well, Softwash UK, which is a supplier of Softwash exterior cleaning chemicals and equipment. And also I run Mr. Clever Clean franchise as a cleaning company as well. So got a little bit of experience over the years, and hence the reason for the podcast. And I get asked lots of questions about sodium hypochlorite. Now, even the word sodium hypochlorite can make people's blood boil. So I think we need to get some fact out there rather than fiction. So that's the point of this podcast today. And we're going to explain what sodium hypochlorite is and also how to use it. And how can it benefit you when you're soft washing exterior surfaces? So without further ado, let's crack on with that. So sodium hypochlorite, we've all used it even before soft washing was first come to our shores here in the UK. A lot of people didn't realise, but soft washing, obviously it's been reinvented, but we've been doing it for millennia. I mean, if you go back to, for instance, well, this will show you my age a little bit, but if you go back to, let's say, Coronation Street, all the black and white shots of television of, you know, like a mum character with a headscarf kneeling down on our front doorstep, scrubbing with a stiff brush and a bucket of water. Well, she wasn't rubbing water in there. She was rubbing bleach, i.e. sodium hypochlorite, and probably some sort of soap like Fairy Liquid or something like that, and scrubbing it on her front doorstep to clean it. And that's what she was doing. She was theoretically soft washing. So it's been around for years, and statements like people do come out with where they say using sodium hypochlorite to clean a surface is illegal, quite frankly, is quite disappointing within the industry. And we'll go into details to try and explain the reasons why that is not the case, and also why we use sodium hypochlorite, because at the end of the day, we're in the cleaning business, and there are some surfaces that do need to use sodium hypochlorite. So sodium hypochlorite, for those of you who don't know, is the chemical name for bleach. Bleach is used most commonly, and also it can be called liquid chlorine as well. And the liquid chlorine, basically, it all stems from many years ago. Swimming pools used to be sanitised using chlorine gas. In other words, a bit like the oxygen blower that you get in a fish tank. They used to bubble chlorine gas into the swimming pool inside the treatment plant, and that would sanitize all the waterborne bacteria that obviously were introduced by people swimming in it. And reason it was quite difficult because chlorine actually only exists in a gas form. You can't actually get liquid chlorine. Now, to explain the reason why that is because it is a gas. Chlorine is a gas, and you just know there's no getting away from that. But when the innovations of sanitizing swimming pools move forward with technical abilities, this thing called sodium hypochlorite came along, and they basically said, yeah, we've got this new stuff now. Rather than using a gas and having to treat it and be careful, we now have a liquid called sodium hypochlorite that can sanitize your swimming pool. Now, you're probably thinking where this is going, Mark. Well, basically, they went, oh, what? Like, so it's like liquid chlorine. And pretty much that is how the term chlorine and liquid chlorine comes about. And so when you, for instance, if you go to a shop today in a supermarket and you have a look on the shelves, you will see that you get bleach, i.e. for instance, Domestos, for instance. But there'll be other stuff on there as well, and some of them will actually say chlorine free, which is quite ironic really, because it's impossible to actually have chlorine as a liquid, but they still put it on the packaging. So that's how gullible we are as a nation. So basically sodium hypochlorite is a solution of distilled water. Okay, this is how they make it. They then dissolve large quantities of salt within that solution, hence the sodium part, because sodium is the chemical name for salt. And then I believe they also add a small amount of sodium hydroxide as well, which is commonly used as a drain cleaner or a degreaser. That is to stabilize the sodium hypochlorite, to stop it from going off, because contrary to a lot of police, it's actually very biodegradable, and so the impact, well, we'll go into that, into the environment, is actually quite short-lived. And then they pass pretty much, for want of a better word, an electrical current through the solution, and that then forms chlorine compounds within the solution. So think of a compound as, for instance, you know, a compound of soldiers in the Iraqi desert. You know, that's a hard exterior surrounded perimeter fence which holds the soldiers inside and keeps them safe, and they're locked away there. And that's a compound, basically, my analogy of a compound. So the soldiers are the chlorine compounds, and it's all locked away in there and it can't get out. And as soon as you introduce a organic material to that solution, that sets off a chain reaction, and the compounds are then released, and hence then there is a release of chlorine gas, which is then obviously the smell of swimming pools, which you can smell when you're cleaning using sodium hypochlorite. And it's that action alone that actually does the cleaning. That oxidization is what is the powerful part of sodium hypochlorite. And sodium hypochlorite is used in many industries. You, for instance, in again, ill-formed on the news again, things like, you've probably heard the word chlorinated chicken from the America market. Well, basically all that means is they've actually taken the chicken, they've processed it, and to stop any bacteria forming on it and causing salmonella, they introduce a solution of sodium hypochlorite at very weak concentrations. The sort of same concentrations that you'd use to sanitize a baby bottle with. So they're basically making sure that it doesn't form any bad bacteria on it, so you don't get salmonella when you eat the chicken. But they call it chlorinated chicken. In reality, they're not going to call it bleaching a chicken, because that would sound quite drastic. But that's the reality of it is. But at a very weak solution, it's almost the principle of actually just running a domestic water tap over the chicken. Now, you probably think, well, where's this going? Well, I think it's important to understand what sodium hypochlorite is. And this is one industry that uses it. Also, the drinking water that comes through to your tap, again, the water board authorities and the processing plants will add sodium hypochlorite into your drinking water. And the reason why they do that is because if they don't, the water will actually start to form waterborne diseases. And by the time it comes through into your tap and you drink it, you could end up with a really bad tummy and almost, in some cases, actually be fatal. So to sanitize the water and keep it from being bad for you, they introduce sodium hypochlorite to it. Now, on occasions, you probably will switch the tap on, and you will smell sodium hypochlorite, or for instance, the smell of swimming pool. And that's because it has oxidized, because the water has started to go off. So therefore, the organic contaminants have been introduced, and then it starts to oxidize and those chlorine compounds are released. And hence the reason why you can smell a little bit of swimming pool there. Also, talking of swimming pools, we use sodium hypochlorite in our swimming pools. Now, to explain that, basically, they pour sodium hypochlorite in your swimming pool, because if they don't, we all know, unfortunately, what children do in swimming pools. They introduce organic contaminants in the form of wee. And So the sodium hypochlorite's in the swimming pool, and then when that organic contaminant is introduced, that just then starts the chain reaction, and you then get the release of the chlorine compounds, which then sanitizes the water and stops everybody from basically dying from a waterborne pollutants within the swimming pool. And funny enough, if you go into a swimming pool when there aren't children there, it doesn't really smell very much of sodium hypochlorite, and also you don't get stinging eyes from it. But when the kids are on holiday, they are of course all in the swimming pool, and what they do is they introduce organic contaminants into the swimming pool by the form of weeing, I'm afraid, and that will then start the chlorine compounds to oxidize, releasing the chlorine gas, and then that's why you can smell swimming pools at that point. So that sort of explains how that works. And another thing, just to add to this as well, our bodies naturally form sodium hypochlorite in our bodies as well as a natural sanitizer, but I won't go into details too much about that because it's more of a personal hygiene thing. But it's true, we do produce our own sodium hypochlorite in small quantities. So, as I touched on earlier, it's the oxidization that's the powerful bit. And that is what basically is going to clean and also kill the bacterias that we have, or the lichens and organic stains. And so if you were to take a brand new drum of sodium hypochlorite and actually sniff it, it doesn't smell of chlorine. It's inert. It doesn't actually smell. It should be like a slightly green, limey sort of colour. But as soon as you introduce water to it or organic contaminants to it, that's when it will start to oxidise, and then that's when you'll smell the chlorine. So it's a pretty amazing solution, quite frankly, and should be welcome to the industry, because sodium hypochlorite is the only chemical that's out there that will actually remove the black lichen staining. So if you've come across black spots, for instance, on an Indian sandstone patio or slabs or on block paving, or the black staining on a silicon-based render, so the coloured renders that you get in modern builds today, and there are black staining on those, then if there are any products out there on the market that state that they can remove them, they are almost certainly sodium hypochlorite based products, and generally with a surfactant that's pre-mixed into them. So we touched on surfactants in the previous podcast. So by mixing your own surfactant into the sodium hypochlorite, that creates your own soft wash solution, which can then deal with those black lichen stains. And the oxidization process that we talked about is a very active reaction. It typically takes anywhere from half an hour to an hour to happen. And what triggers that off is the introduction of organic contaminants. And it's that reaction, a bit like a sparkler, I suppose, at a bonfire night. You've got the sparkler, the lighter is the organic contaminants, and then as soon as you've lit it with the organic contaminants, it's an amazing reaction, but then it's pretty short-lived. And typically, sodium hypochlorite to oxidize will take about an hour in total, or sooner if it's got a lot of organic contaminant to deal with. And it will smell stronger of sodium hypochlorite based on how severe the organic stain is that it's dealing with. So if it was just green algae, for instance, it will smell a little bit of sodium hypochlorite or chlorine, but then it won't be there for very long and the job will be done, and then, you won't smell it. But if it's dealing with a lot of organic contaminants, then it would smell of chlorine stronger, and it would last and linger around for longer. But if you're cleaning outside in well-ventilated areas, there really is no risk to anybody, especially if they're wearing a P3 rated mask that can stop the inhalation of any spray atoms during the soft washing process. So, yeah, it's pretty incredible chemical, quite frankly. And if you're serious about soft washing, not using sodium hypochlorite is really limiting your skill set in regards to removing those black stains. For instance, some of the, we'll just touch on this slightly, some of the biocides out there that are used that have got a chemical DDAC or DDAC in them, or BAC 50, they will not remove black staining under any circumstances. They're great for once you've got the black staining off to then use it as maintenance treatments. But if you've got black staining, you certainly, the first thing you should be doing is looking at sodium hypochlorite and a good surfactant like Clever Wash to achieve the initial good clean, to get rid of those black staining. And then for maintenance cleans, going forward, using a DDAC or BAC 50 or DDAC, depending on what you know it as, to maintain the performance of that clean. Okay, so that's really... pretty much covered what the sodium hypochlorite is and where you should use it. Okay, there's obviously different strengths, and that is a very in detailed going into details with different strengths. But typically, a typical solution would be a 1-in-3, so one part sodium hypochlorite, three parts water. If that's really working around a 4% solution. So typically, sodium hypochlorite comes in 14 to 15% concentration. And so you would be diluting that down one part sodium hypochlorite, three parts water. And that would take that down roughly to about 4%, just short of 4%. And that's typically what you would use it on black spots and lichens. And then on things like render, you know, you should be looking at maybe a 1% or a 2% solution. And diluting it down at the correct ratio for that. And I'll go into details in more in a future episode of how to come up with those dilution rates and mixology, or how to mix a soft wash recipe, in another podcast in the future. So yeah, and a good place to try and find sodium hypochlorite as well, just a little pro tip here. If you're working, ideally, you don't want to have to pay for delivery of sodium hypochlorite, because they're normally in 20-litre drums and they're quite heavy. You would really try and source them locally in your area so you can fetch them yourself. And if you're in an agricultural-related area, or you know of places where there are dairy cows and cattle fields and black and white cows, that sort of thing, almost certainly those farmers would be purchasing sodium hypochlorite for sanitizing the dairy parlors, for where the milk is extracted out of the cows. So that would be a great place to ask them where they purchase it from. And normally there'll be a company that supply sort of fence post, barbed wire, baler string, that sort of thing, and they will sell sodium hypochlorite on the pallet there as well. So that would be a great place to purchase it from. Alternatively, you can get it online. We sometimes sell it, depending on where we can get it from at the right price and the ability of getting it shipped out. That has been somewhat difficult over the last few months due to the shortage of sodium hypochlorite, but we can do that online. And also a quick Google search, you'll find it, no problem at all. Yeah, try and find it locally, because you'll save some money doing that for sure. And then add your own surfactant to it, like Clever Wash, which we discussed in a previous episode on the podcast series. I think I've pretty much covered everything to do with the sodium hypochlorite and, you know, the processes and methods and procedures that you would use. Always wear protective personal equipment. So when you're dispensing it, you should be wearing gloves, you should be wearing eye coverings, and a P3 rated mask in particular. I like to use the paper based ones, because they're easy to just move on and off your mouth easy, and they don't interfere with any goggles or any flip down shields that you might want to use. And yeah, go from there. And you know, be respectful of sodium hypochlorite, but also don't be frightened of it, you know, and always, you know, risk assess every job that you're going to do and make sure that you are doing it properly. I think I've pretty much covered everything regards to that. There's also one thing that I forgot to mention, and that is how biodegradable sodium hypochlorite is. So if you were to take a glass of sodium hypochlorite and leave it on a table outside in the midday sun, typically by the end of the day, that won't be sodium hypochlorite anymore. It will be just salt and water with a little bit of sodium hydroxide. It actually biodegrades and oxidizes if sunlight can get to it. So that is the reason why when you purchase sodium hypochlorite, it should be in a black or dark blue drum. So if there's any suppliers out there that supply it in clear, opaque drums, quite frankly, it's not very professional doing that. But if they do, as a user, you have to make sure that you completely cover those drums up so the sunlight can't get to them. Otherwise, when you go to use them, you'll be thinking, wow, this isn't very strong at all. And believe you me, as a soft washer, when you've got sodium hypochlorite as pants because it's already oxidized, you will know about it when you've got good sodium hypochlorite. And typically you'll find in the industry as well that people who use pre-mixed sodium hypochlorites, because there's a few companies out there that do them now, the customers generally aren't too impressed, the users rather, aren't too impressed with them, because if you don't use them within weeks, they do tend to oxidize and go off, because the introduction of a surfactant of a pre-blend, if left for a period of time, will actually reduce the power of that sodium hypochlorite, and actually the sodium hypochlorite starts to oxidize and gets weaker. So what you think might be a 15% premixed sodium hypochlorite and surfactant solution has probably dropped down to 8% or thereabouts over the few weeks it's been left on the pallet, etc. So just bear that in mind, because I think it's important to know the reason why sometimes soft washing doesn't sort of pan out how you think it would do, because you've heard all the hype and then you put it on and it doesn't work. If you've got any comments, or you'd like to hear a particular subject, or any questions you've got, then contact us through the website. We're always looking for new information that you don't possibly know and you would like to know. And it's been a pleasure talking and listening. Hopefully you guys have been listening to me today and enjoying the podcast. And if there's anything else in the future that we can help you with, then please do not hesitate to give us a call or contact us at Softwash UK. And once again, may I thank you for listening today. It's really, I do love putting information out there, and it's great that you're out there listening and hopefully enjoying the podcast. So hopefully you'll come and join us next time when we upload our next podcast. So many thanks, and all that's left for me to say is bye for now, and we'll see you next time. Take care.